Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil. How you doing tonight?
Hi, Steve. Really good. And we have a special guest tonight, too. We're going to introduce him in a second. But first, let me say that this is going to be a little different show than you normally hear. Instead of doing a Bible study, and don't everybody sigh and say, oh, good. Instead of doing a Bible study or some kind of topical teaching, we're going to talk about kind of a little different subject here. And we have a guest with us who is a good friend of Stephen's and I, and his name is Eric Carpenter. He actually lives in Oberlin, Ohio. And he is going to be with us this evening, and we're going to be talking about a subject that some of you may be surprised about, but it is going to be about the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church. Now, some of you may say, I never heard of such a thing, but the Catholic charismatic renewal has been going since 1967, and over the whole world has about 120 million adherents or followers, or whatever you might want to call it.
Those who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Exactly, those who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in the U.S. and Canada and Western Europe, it is actually kind of small compared to Africa, Asia, and Latin America. But we're going to be talking about that in some detail. And first, let's say hello to Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Good
glad
to have
be
you
here.
With us.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks.
I was just going to add to your beginning comments that it's important to understand that the charismatic renewal is an outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as was at Pentecost. It's not a movement. Mm-hmm. It's a fulfillment of the Old Testament. What Jesus came to do is restore the broken relationship with God the Father. And that's what when he ascended and he said, wait here, pray. He was telling the disciples, wait here and pray in the upper room. He was promising them the gift that the Father would send, mm-hmm. and that was the Holy Spirit to empower them mm-hmm. to go out and evangelize and spread the gospel.
Exactly. Yeah. In the last 4 or 5 weeks, Steve and I have been teaching about gifts of the Holy Spirit and ministry that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And last week's show, you may recall, was about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit falling on the 120 in the upper room. And we want to continue with that a little bit. And let me just briefly, because I want Eric to get involved here in a second, but briefly to summarize, the first few centuries of Christianity were very charismatic, Pentecostal, and there was evidence of signs and wonders, and there was evidence of bold preaching, and there was evidence of the kingdom being proclaimed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when it got into the Middle Ages, it kind of, I don't know what's a good term to use.
Subsided,
kind of cooled off a little bit. Yeah. And that went on for a few hundred years. And then at the very beginning of the 20th century, in fact, New Year's Day of 1901, the very first day of the 20th century, not that the Holy Spirit had left, but he began to make a big comeback, falling on a young girl in Kansas whose name was
Agnes Osman.
Exactly, Agnes Osman. And she was filled with the Spirit and stood up in a church. I forgot what denomination it was, and began speaking in tongues. Yeah. And everyone in the place was pretty amazed. But from there, it went on to the famous Azusa Street revival in Los Angeles, which was in 1906.
Right.
And it was interesting because this is where the term Pentecostal came from, because it reminded people of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit had fallen on these people, and people were praying in tongues, and they were dancing, and they were singing, and they were waving their arms. And it was different than most church services that they had been used to.
I want to add a little bit
yes.
here. Starting in the 18th century, John Wesley, who, of course, founded the modern Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. Many of our listeners mm-hmm. may be Methodists, mm-hmm. or some may be at least. Methodism really has its origins in Holy Spirit inspiration. Mm-hmm.
The Wesley brothers.
The Wesley brothers were very powerfully anointed with the Holy Spirit and were involved in what is really a kind of precursor movement to the Pentecostals.
Yes.
And then I want to also mention somebody who some listeners may have been to Oberlin and been to Finney Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
Finney Chapel is actually named after Charles Grandison Finney, who was the first second president of Oberlin College and also the first professor of theology there. Mm-hmm. And he was very definitely a precursor to the modern Pentecostal movement. He preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He said that all the graduates of the Oberlin Seminary needed to be endued with power from on high.
Mm.
So this was 1830, 1840.
Wow.
So there were, you know, things going on in the various Christian churches, or, you know, right up to 1900.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the first president of Oberlin, Asa Mahan, was in his later, he was also preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as did Finney. And later in his life, he got involved with the Keswick movement in England, and they were precursors. They were definitely kind of pre-Pentecostals. And, you know, so there's like a line of development that kind of breaks out again, as we were saying, in 1900.
Very good. Yeah. Good background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of preparing the way or plowing the ground.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. And then Azusa Street got national and international attention because not only were different denominations involved, but there were blacks and whites, there were Hispanics. And, you know, at that time, churches were pretty segregated. You didn't generally go to church with blacks and Hispanics, and everybody had their own church. But at Azusa Street, there was an African-American pastor whose name escapes me now, and a white pastor who actually
Charles Parham was one.
Parham was one of them. He was the white guy, I think. But anyway, it was interracial and inter-ethnic, and it from there spread as people went to Azusa Street, sort of got the fire, and then went back to their own churches. And during the teens and the 20s, all the modern Pentecostal denominations and movements and, you know, the Assemblies of God being one
Church
of them,
of God
and
in
Church
Christ.
Of God in Christ, the Nazarenes, the Christian Churches of North America, which was predominantly Italian, all kind of came out during the late teens, early 20s, and they were referred to as Pentecostal. Now, you're all familiar with the term Pentecostal, and there's also the term charismatic. They really are the same. But Pentecostal was reserved for the people from the earlier part of the century, and the people that came afterwards, like when it got into the other sort of mainline denominations, referred to themselves as charismatic to kind of separate it into, you know, give the...
It's what we do best. We separate things.
Exactly.
Well, charismatic comes from the Greek word charis, which is a gift of God.
And it went, you know, after the 20s, it kind of started to go into the other denominations. And Eric, why don't you tell the listeners how this came into the Catholic Church?
Sure. I want to, something important that happened in 1962 was an Assembly of God pastor named David Wilkerson.
Oh, yeah.
Published a book called They Speak with Other Tongues.
Mm-hmm.
It's The Cross and the Switchblade. I had that wrong. John Sherrill wrote They Speak with Other Tongues. Anyway, Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. And this was an Assembly of God pastor from Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, who went to New York City, led by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's a small town guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he just felt called to do this. And he did it. He obeyed God, and signs and wonders started happening. He started work with street gangs.
Yeah.
There were mass conversions. Yeah. You know, just wonderful, beautiful things happened. And his ministry got worldwide attention. And he wrote this very powerful book. It was made into a movie starring Pat Boone. A lot of people remember the movie. And anyway, people in other churches started reading this book, and it was about the power of the Holy Spirit working in our time.
Mm-hmm.
And the some students at Duquesne University went on a weekend retreat, and before they went, they were asked to read by their leaders. It was a students and a couple of faculty members.
And it was a Catholic university.
It was a Catholic university in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and they were asked to read the first four chapters of Acts, and they were asked to read The Cross and the Switchblade. and I think they speak with other tongues as well. And so they read this in preparation for the weekend, and then they went on this weekend, and they asked the Holy Spirit to come in and bless them and give them the, you know, their the major blessing. And it, and of course, you know, when you ask the Lord for something like this, and you're in sincerity and in repentance, et cetera, Lord, you know, listens.
Mm-hmm.
And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that really weekend began the Catholic Charismatic Renewal,
yes,
which quickly spread to Notre Dame, to mm-hmm. Michigan, Ann Arbor, mm-hmm. and East Lansing.
East Lansing.
And across the U.S., and then, you know.
And eventually to New Orleans.
And into New Orleans, and then, you know, there may have been other similar instances, but soon in Latin America and into Africa and mm-hmm. really across the world through yes. the Catholic Church.
Yes. And then, like I said earlier, in parts of the world like Africa and Latin America, it is still spreading very forcefully. It's like fire spreading.
We just heard that this weekend through.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I'm privileged to know two of the people that were at that Duquesne weekend, which is Patty Mansfield, who now lives in New Orleans, who has remained a very influential person in the renewal. And I think you guys probably know her too. And David Mangan, who is a high school math teacher in Ann Arbor at a Catholic high school in Ann Arbor. They were two of the people that were actually in the group when the Holy Spirit fell on the group and people started praying in tongues and singing and dancing around the room. And that's not usually seen in Catholic universities, especially at that time.
Patty Mansfield was in Cleveland at the conference. Yes. I'm mm-hmm. going to talk about mm-hmm. in a minute, at Catholic Renewal Ministries annual summer conference in 2002. And that was the first conference I went to. That was mm-hmm. the beginning of my journey into the renewal. And I heard her talk, and I started to think about my own life, what was going on with me at the time that she was experiencing this, et cetera. And
why don't you say a little bit about that? It's pretty interesting.
Sure. Anyway,
I love testimonies.
Patty has this book, and I have it in front of me here, called As by a New Pentecost. And Pope John the 23rd prayed for a renewal in the Catholic Church at the beginning of his papacy, and he asked asked God to open the Catholic Church, to bless it, and ask the Holy Spirit to begin a new movement in the Church, as by a new Pentecost. And that was John called for that, and the Holy Spirit heard that prayer, and the students at Duquesne were touched. But in any case, my own experience with this was that I heard Patty Mansfield speak. I bought her book, and I'm a librarian by profession, now retired. But so I read a lot, and I read Patty's book, and it really touched my heart. And I began to understand what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about,
mm-hmm.
charismatic Pentecostal Christians are about. And I'm a cradle Catholic, but I was 58 years old before the power of the Holy Spirit really touched my life. And I grew up as a cradle Catholic in Wisconsin. I went to public universities. I led a pretty conventional, you know, life in terms of, living out the Christianity. I never really left the church for any extended period. I wasn't what you might call I didn't have a huge fall from, I wasn't a drug addict. I was none of those things. I just led a middle class kind of striving, you know, super straight life.
How do you know,
I suppose.
John Wimber?
Sorry. Go ahead. I read a lot of books and I read about John Wimber. And I've actually been told I look just a little bit like him.
You look remarkably like him.
So I felt some kinship with John Wimber anyway. But back to the situation. In the 1980s, I went to a couple of charismatic masses up at the Christian Life Center when Bob Edwards and other people were up there. And I experienced the effect of, you know, what you might call Catholics having fun in church. And was very drawn to this. You know, people drove an hour to go up there. This wasn't like you'd go to Mass on Sunday mm-hmm. and just, you know, kind of suffer through a boring sermon because you felt you needed to be there, right, or you're going to hell. But these were people that traveled an hour, 2 hours, you know, just to go to Mass. And I thought, something's going on here, and I need to know more about it. But I was kind of put off by the praying in tongues, I guess, and I just thought it was, you know, I didn't get it. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't understand it. So I didn't, you know, it took me 17 years until 2002. I heard Patty speak. I got her mm-hmm. book. And then it started to get inside my heart. And at that point, I was 58. I'd been a librarian quite a long time. I'd worked at Oberlin, which is a wonderful place. But I'd worked there. And I was burnt out. I was stressed from being, I'm a, you know, kind of person, very conscientious, and I take things real seriously, and I would get stressed out with things. I was also, I would say, worldly and cynical. I, in many ways, in terms of my faith, I knew how I should be living, and I wasn't living that way. I felt like my salvation depended on me, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and that I'd go to hell. I felt yeah. like I was going to hell because I couldn't possibly live the way, you know, I was hearing the sermons mm-hmm. on Sunday, and I read some scripture, not a lot, but,
and you were right.
I was right. And I felt it depended on me. And all of a sudden I read Patty's book and I start, you know, hanging out with charismatics and they're saying it doesn't depend on you. God will give you all the grace you need to live the way you're supposed to. And I said, oh, how does that work? And then, you know, explanation of baptism, Holy Spirit. So in November of 2002, I went to a Life in the Spirit seminar, a CRM seminar. And, you know, the Holy Spirit gave me all I needed, which was, you know, basically the impulse to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he started changing me right away. And immediately he gave me the peace and the sense that as I left that seminar and I had to drive over an hour home to Oberlin in a very cold, snowy December night, I just felt this wonderful sense that the Lord was with me and he was saying, you put me in charge of your life and I'm with you and you're with me and everything is going to be okay. Mm. And it was the most marvelous. It was, you know, this ground was covered with snow and I felt like I'd just been covered, you know, I'd been given a white coat or something, you know, and it was just peaceful and it was loving. And it was just, I didn't feel guilty anymore. I didn't feel like I needed to prove anything to him, nor he to me, you know. And in a very real sense, that's 9 years ago, and it that peace never really left me.
Praise the Lord.
It really changed me. Yeah. You know, I wasn't an alcoholic. I was a very straight, you know, living guy, conventionally, you know, but inside I was a mess.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of inner healing from that. So,
you know, one of the things that you mentioned, Eric, was about surrender. And as I talk to people who have had this same experience of being, you know, we say baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're immersed in the love of God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And that love, as St. Paul says, is, you know, it's, there's a height, a depth, and a breadth, and a length of that, of God's love that we cannot even begin to understand on our own.
Amen.
And when we feel that embrace of God's love and we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the pivotal event that happens as I talk to people that changes their life because they feel the love of God for the first time in a real sense, and it just transforms their heart. And the word that always comes up is surrender or abandonment, mm-hmm. because when we come to that place of surrender, we come to that place of abandoning our lives to God, then He really moves.
I just want to add to that something that people I heard said by other people in Renewal, but what I experienced was that my head knowledge of the Lord became heart knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. I knew that He loved me. I experienced that love released in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't just a matter of it being in my head anymore.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Well, we're coming up on a break here on the Word 1220. This is the Gift of Grace. We're going to let you hear a Paul Wilbur song, and then we're going to come back and have Eric tell us about a conference coming up next month that you might be interested in coming to, no matter what denomination you're in. And remember, the Gift of Grace is on Facebook, if you search for us, and at www.giftofgraceministries.org.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
Praise His name forever and again. Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. When the shout of the Lord is in our camp, it's the sound of victory. For the power of his voice will rout the enemy. There's no weapon that can defeat us here. We will triumph on every side, more than conquerors through the might of Adonai.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here with Stephen Garchar and our special guest, Eric Carpenter. And we've been talking about charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church. And before we go on with any more information or teaching about it, Eric's going to tell us about an event that's coming up in about a month or so.
Yes, the event is the Catholic Renewal Ministries Annual Summer Conference. And before I just describe that, I'd like to just quickly say what Catholic Renewal Ministries is. We use the abbreviation CRM, Catholic Renewal Ministries. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal is organized, as the church is, throughout the world, basically by diocese. And within each diocese, there's an organization, some kind of renewal ministries type organization that is an umbrella group which serves the Catholic charismatic prayer groups in that diocese. Not every diocese has one, but Cleveland's very fortunate to have a very vigorous Catholic charismatic renewal group and a group of good and strong prayer groups through the diocese. So this CRM is the coordinating committee of CRM is called the General Service Committee, and I'm on that committee. I'm the secretary for CRM, and my name is on the CRM website, which, by the way, I can't resist saying, is crmweb.org, crmweb.org. That's the CRM website, and you're welcome to visit that, and you can find our prayer groups and everything about CRM there.
Is your picture on there, too?
No. But the picture that is on there is our bishop's liaison to the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, who is a wonderful priest named Father Bob. We all call him Father Bob Franco. He's a pastor of St. Peter's Parish in North Ridgeville. And we have this annual conference every summer. And this summer is going to be our 29th CRM conference. I actually came into Renewal, as I said before, in 2002. So this is going to be my ninth consecutive CRM conference. Our speakers this year, well, first I should tell you the dates. The dates are going to be Friday, July 15th. From 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., we get started on Friday night, and then all day Saturday, July 16th, 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. We have speakers, and I want to tell you about some of them. Father Bob Franco, who is our liaison, is always a speaker for us. And we have some exciting, we have three exciting speakers coming from outside the diocese, and two of them are, three of them, actually, all three are major leaders in the renewal in the United States. And one of them is a real veteran of the renewal, and his name is Peter Herbeck. And Peter is the Vice President and Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries, another wonderful Catholic charismatic organization in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's renewalministries.net, which is their renewalministries.net.
You can find that on the Gift of Grace website.
Find it on Gift of Grace.
I know him very well.
And Peter is he's connected with Renewal Ministries. He's a very powerful speaker, and worship leader, and I was very privileged to go to the School of Evangelization that Renewal Ministries has during the summer. And Peter's just a very, very dynamic speaker. He has spoken at conferences throughout the U.S., Canada, Africa, Asia, etc. He's also the co-host of The Choices We Face, which is the program that Peter and Ralph Martin, who is the president of Renewal Ministries. Ralph Martin is a very dynamic leader in the Charismatic Renewal, and he was one of the first Catholics baptized in the Holy Spirit, came into it through the Curcio movement. And anyway, Peter is going to be a featured speaker, and he's a wonderful speaker. Secondly, we're having a dynamite speaker. His name is Mark Nemo, spelled N-I-M-O, Mark Nemo.
We just heard him this past
weekend. We heard him this past weekend at the Catholic Charismatic Conference in Franciscan University, Steubenville. Mark comes from Ghana in West Africa. He had a profound conversion experience at about age 20 through the Charismatic Renewal. And his passion for the Lord took him into Uganda, East Africa, where he has served as a lay missionary for a couple of years. And then he served for 10 years as the representative of something called the ICCRS, the International Catholic Charismatic Renewal Services. It's the worldwide group that serves directly in connection with Rome. He was a representative for Anglophone Africa, and he's spoken in 35 countries. He's from Chicago, and he is an anointed African speaker and just a dynamite speaker. He really had people praising God, and just he was a very exciting speaker at Steubenville. So he'll be
as he pointed out, when they have a Life in the Spirit seminar or something similar to that, there's like 10,000 people that come.
Right. It's not 500 people. It's 5,000 or even 50,000 people.
Right. Yeah.
And our third major speaker is a Catholic author, consultant, and conference retreat presenter named Renee Marizan. She's actually involved with the Charismatic Renewal for the Diocese of Toledo in Ohio. She's also a dynamic speaker, has led workshops and so forth. And we will have a mass, I believe, by the Most Reverend A. James Quinn, who's the been an auxiliary bishop. He's now retired in our own diocese. So that will be – those are the speakers.
What are the dates again?
The dates again are Friday, July 15th from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Saturday, July 16th. I just told you about the speakers. In addition to that, we will have a celebration of the Mass on Saturday. We will have praise and worship sessions. And I know listeners to this program know about praise and worship. And Stephen Garchar and Sandy will be leading music, as will Denny Carlton.
Do they do a good job?
They do a wonderful job.
Fair to medium.
They're inspired worship leaders. There will also be a healing service on Saturday night. There will be prayer teams who will be available for individuals who are seeking healing prayer. There will be Eucharistic adoration. There's a bookstore. There are exhibits from various Catholic organizations. So there's a lot going on at CRM. And the cost of all of this, you will ask, what does this all cost? Only $25 for both days. That's registration at the door before July 3rd, or $30 at the door. Young people ages 13 to 19 are admitted for a lesser cost. I think it's $10.
$10. Yeah.
There are box lunches available for $6 each lunch. That's for the lunches on Saturday. And also, I believe there's coffee when we come in, you know, just before the session begins on Friday night and in the morning.
Bill will be there for that.
Oh, yeah. I'll pay the $25
if there's coffee anywhere. Phil is there.
We're all sitting here at in the radio station with the coffee next to us. So, how to register for this conference? There's a couple of ways, and one is to go to this email address, which is conference@oberlin.net, or by contacting Joe or Sue Palmieri, spelled Palmieri. And their telephone number is 440-774-1191. If you register before 3rd of July, it's $25. I believe it's $30 after that or at the door.
Right.
So that's the you want to give basics that, about the conference.
You want to give that phone number one more time?
Sure. The phone number is 440-774-1191 or by email at conference@oberlin.net.
Very good. Well, I know that, as you said, you know, my wife and I and Denny are going to be doing music for it, and we were there last year, and Mark Nemo is one of the speakers and presenters, and very anointed worship leader and presenter. And I've heard, you know, I've heard Peter talk a couple of times, and he's tremendous testimonies, and the Lord's just really moved in his life and just sent him out all over the world.
On Pentecost Sunday, he spoke at the Franciscan University Steubenville Conference, and he talked about streams of living water, and it was like they were flowing right off the speaker's platform. It was just like out of Ezekiel.
It was just, you know? That's right.
Yeah. He did use that. He did use that scripture reference.
Blowing
it was
out
just
of the
like
temple, out of
right
the
out of the
gate,
temple,
the,
right down through the audience. You know, it was wonderful.
Yeah, very animated and inspired. It'd be worth coming just to hear him and Peter Herbeck, and of course, Steve and Sandy.
And Father Bob, of course.
And Father Bob, of course.
Thanks, Phil.
And,
Steve and Sandy, I think, will be up in the front on the stage doing music.
Possibly.
Yes. And those of you who know Denny Carlton, who was on this show for years, he will also be on the worship team. So no matter what denomination you're in, it might be worth coming just to have an awesome weekend of praise and worship and teaching.
One of the really wonderful things about the Charismatic Renewal is it really is, you know, what it, as it's labeled, a renewal. It can refresh, you know, your spiritual life. If you're a Catholic who's been in church or any church, a Christian who's been in the, you know, in any denomination of Christianity, and we are very open ecumenically. Charismatic Renewal is dedicated to ecumenism among Christians. To renew your faith, to renew your life. Lord wants to do that. The Holy Spirit wants to do that. And certainly that's what happened with me. And I know it's happened with many, many other. I have a collection of charismatic friends, you know, Christians from different denominations.
Well, as we've pointed out, I think last week, one of the things of all the charismatic Pentecostal type, renewals has been that no matter which denomination you're in, if you've been baptized in the Spirit and walking in this, you recognize the other people that have also had this experience, and you have a fellowship and a friendship and a, you know, sort of a bond with
them.
There
is a bond.
Yeah. So if you have a Methodist and a Lutheran and a Catholic and an Assemblies person sitting around the table, you can have fellowship together without a lot of the baggage that comes along with all that.
And Messianic Jews as well.
How could I forget?
How could you
forget? Messianic Jews as well.
Well, you know, as you're explaining that, Eric, the one thing that comes to my mind is, you know, when Jesus was, this is in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full." And that fullness is the restoration of, through the Holy Spirit, of that relationship with God. And in there, you know, he's talking about what's going to happen. He's alluding to what's going to happen after he ascends, and the Holy Spirit's going to come and empower the apostles and all the disciples in the upper room. And that fullness of life is in the Holy Spirit. Because as you're saying, you know, I'll speak for myself. When I went to church before I was ever baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's pretty dry.
Well, it's interesting because I have 10:10 open in front of me, and the full text is the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Right.
You know, the thief steals, kills and destroys our faith, our fervor, our, you know, over time, our belief and the beliefs of our children. I mean, I'm certainly going through that, as I know many other fervent Christians are. You know, the children are not going to church.
Right.
And it grieves the heart.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Jesus comes that we all may have life and have it abundantly.
Yeah. And that abundance is in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And we've talked many times about how, as people have become more lukewarm and the gospel's not being preached and some watered down gospels being preached and let's all just be nice.
And Peter, this is one of Peter Herbeck's favorite themes, which is the lukewarmness in the church, right?
Exactly.
And what true discipleship is about.
Yes.
This, he will undoubtedly teach something about discipleship.
Oh, there's no question about it.
This is his passionate topic that he always gets back to. And it's so compelling.
And he's very interested in this subject about how this darkness, which has now come over the world, that we have to confront. You know, we've talked about many times on this show about being salt and light, and that just like the first century evangelists had to preach in a pagan world and brought pagans into the kingdom, we have to do it again in places that were traditionally Christian, which are now not.
And the thief has come and stolen and destroyed faith through relativism.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
Moral relativism. You know,
and all roads lead to the same place.
Right.
And
that's right.
Yes, and it's quite a difficult thing to teach against. And as you say, we can't do it on our own, but we are responsible for doing it.
Amen.
And many churches have gone into the mode now of, well, let's just make sure everybody's happy and comfortable,
let's,
and they don't
want to
upset anybody. And you know, if you tell people they're sinners, they'll get upset, and so we better lay off of that. And
or if you're a priest and you mention hell in your sermon, somebody's going to say, why did you have to make us squirm?
Yes, and, you know, the everybody's welcome here, which is true. Everybody's welcome, but they're welcome then to be transformed and to be changed,
and to hear
not to be left the way they are.
And to hear the truth.
Exactly. And so this is what, you know, this is what we're faced with now.
Amen.
And Peter Herbeck has been... You know, he's been talking about that for the last 10 years as this has gotten, you know, whatever you want to say, worse and worse and worse.
And one of the major themes in Renewal Ministries' whole existence as a ministry, Ralph Martin's passion for the truth. You know, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other.
Right. We talked about that last time because we talked about, you know, the gospel has now been reduced to social justice.
Right.
And the person of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross has been kind of taken a back seat now to, we just have to go out and be nice to everyone. I hear Paul Wilbur again. Anyway, we are coming up on another break here on the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. When we come back, Steve is going to be poised to say something here and do a teaching, and then we're going to find out a little bit more about the renewal from Eric, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220, WHKW, The Word.
Holy, holy, holy is the God of Israel. Elders bow in worship as the angel voices swell. Fragrant clouds of incense swirl around your throne of grace. Lord, we bow in worship at the brilliance of your face. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Come to reign forever, King of
ocean doors and cry,
listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we went on the break, we were waiting. I was going to have Steve go on. He was about to make a point, and the break kind of cut him off. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, before I get to that, I just want to advertise again that the 29th Annual Cleveland Catholic Charismatic Conference is Friday, July 15th, and Saturday, July 16th. At Magnificat High School. That's on Hilliard Boulevard in Rocky River. If you want additional information, please contact Joe and Sue Palmieri at 440-774-1191. That's 440-774-1191. Or you can email them at conference@oberlin.net. And you can also go to the CRM website, which is CRMweb, all one word, CRMweb.org. And you can pull off a brochure and a registration form. Yeah. You know, as we were talking right before the last break, you're talking about how in some cases the gospel message has been watered down. And in the book of Revelation, in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, the one vision is of the Lord speaking to the seven churches,
mm-hmm.
and to the church in Laodicea. The Lord says, you know, you're neither hot nor cold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And he addresses this similarly to all seven of these churches. Basically, they were given the Spirit. They, you know, like in Ephesus, they've lost that first love.
Mm-hmm.
They, as time has gone on, they've regressed from the message of the gospel and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is a stern warning to even us today that we have to be vigilant not to fall into being lax,
yeah,
or just complacent about our faith, which in our culture, in our world, because it moves at such a fast pace, we can get dragged downstream with mm-hmm. it just mm-hmm. as easily as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, you know, we have to be vigilant about it and yeah. to preach the gospel. And there's many opportunities throughout the day to do that, you know, in a very loving way.
Right.
Because the whole message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross. He purchased my soul, your soul,
amen,
at the price of his own blood.
Amen.
And in that, he proves his love for us, that he came to us to ransom us and to restore that broken relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden with mm-hmm. God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole plan of salvation.
Yeah. Two gardens and two trees.
Two gardens and two trees. So that's, you know, that's what I was going to point out, is that in the book of Revelation, you know, it would be good to read through the second and third chapters about what is the Lord saying to the churches at
yes.
that time, and how does it apply to us today?
Yeah.
Because we suffer with the same challenges. It's a spiritual battle. We may be in the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
but it's still
it's
a spiritual
battle. Yeah.
It's still the same battle that's raging on, because it's a battle between Satan
right.
and God.
Right. And as we were talking before about the time that we're in, we were created to be here at this time.
Yeah.
And there's reasons why the three of us weren't together doing ministry back in 1308 or 1807 or even 1921. We're here now.
Did they have radio back then?
Well,
no.
1921,
it was just kind of
just
starting.
Barely.
Yes, but we weren't on the air yet. I mean, I'm getting old, but I'm not quite that old. But we were created for such a time as this, it says in the book of Esther. We're here for just this time. And I think that these renewal movements that have come through the 20th century and are still going, I mean, this is the Holy Spirit renewing the church, being poured out. You know, it's Joel chapter 2 again. You know, Peter talked about how it's time of Joel chapter 2. Now it's Joel chapter 2 again, as we're coming up to an end time harvest. They brought the first harvest. We're going to bring the last harvest.
What's happening is that the Holy Spirit is leading Christians into a renewed experience
yeah.
of God's love, not
yeah.
just head knowledge, but
yeah.
heart knowledge, to
mm-hmm.
know that you know that you know
mm-hmm.
that God is real, God loves us, and God wants us to follow him and experience his love.
Yes.
It's, you know, that's what Christians need, and that's
yes.
what the renewal has given us.
Yeah.
It's what, you
yeah.
know, a renewed heart,
yeah.
a renewed mind, a renewed spirit, and renewed enthusiasm when you're old and, you know, I'm 58 and pretty old and tired,
wow.
and now I'm 67. And I'm,
I thought I was
know.
Almost old. I was almost 44.
But, you know, what you're speaking about is that renewed heart and that renewed enthusiasm and that love that is poured into your heart when the Holy Spirit just envelops you with the love of God. And that's, and Phil and I have talked about this many times on the show, is that the first community of believers, you know, they witnessed Jesus make the ultimate sacrifice. And, as, you know, we've talked about as we were leading up to Pentecost, how they were hiding in the upper room and they were mm-hmm. fearful because they saw the crucifixion. And anybody that's a human being would not want to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I think natural humanly that they were in fear of their lives probably. Mm-hmm. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, that fear is transformed.
Yeah. Total transformation.
Total transformation. They go out and they preach the gospel.
Boldly.
And it's instantaneous.
Instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we talked about our friend Peter quite a bit. What a transformation we saw in him. So, Eric, we have probably just have about a few minutes left.
Sure.
Do you want to, whatever you want to sum up?
I think it's this, the point I think I want to emphasize is this renewed heart, this renewed spirit. It's this renewed love that we're called to through the Holy Spirit, renewing our hearts, our minds, our lives, so that we not only experience all this, but we develop an irresistible urge to share it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know in my own case, I'm an extrovert at heart. So, you know, doing something like coming on the radio here is not difficult for me. I'm not shy that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, faith is the last thing I would have talked about on the radio
exactly.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Phil and Stephen could never have dragged me onto this program 10 years ago to talk about faith, because I thought it was private and it was, you know, it was, and I suppose I was sort of embarrassed about it, especially living in and working in an academic community, which I could do a whole program on just that. But, what I want to get back to is that it's this transformational experience that gives you the zeal, and it's the zeal that the disciples and apostles experienced when they rushed out of that upper room. Yeah. They didn't say, now we're going to have a committee and decide which street corner Phil's going to be on and which one Stephen's going to be on and where is Eric going to stand. Yeah, you know, they exactly. ran out of the building and they started preaching in, you know, yes. and they were understood by everybody in mm-hmm. their own language, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. After they prayed in tongues, as we would understand, you know, yes. I mean, but tongues was a multi-layered experience there at Pentecost, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in any case, it was instantaneous, and it gave people the boldness and the passion mm-hmm. for, you know, for evangelization. And I think that's, you know, that's at the heart of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's certainly what you would hear Peter Herbeck talk about,
yes.
and Mark Nemo as yeah. well. They're both yes. you know, both like that. So that's my yeah. summation.
And it's time to get out there and do ministry.
Amen.
No matter
yeah,
what
amen.
Your ministry is, just go out there and try it. That's you right. might not, it might not come out the way you think it's going to come out or the way you want it to come out, but go and start doing something.
I will just add, people might find this interesting. I'm a librarian. And I, in 1983 went to the University of Michigan, to do some library work. I'm a retired librarian from Oberlin College. But in that evangelization school, our graduation exercise was to go out on the Michigan Ann Arbor campus and preach. And I got up on a pillar, and it turned out it was in front of the University of Michigan Library, and I preached wow. out on a pillar, Gospel of Jesus Christ, wow. on that secular campus.
Amen.
And I didn't know where I was until I got down, and I turned around, and I was in
wow.
front of the Michigan Library.
Praise God.
That's awesome.
So.
See what the Lord will do when you give him the opportunity.
All you have to do is be docile and open.
He will take you to places that you didn't plan on going.
Yeah.
Never imagined.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome.
Yeah, this is awesome. Well, thanks, Eric, for being here.
It's been great fun.
Yeah, we'll have you come back again sometime. Well, we're coming up to the end of another show. I can't believe it. But anyway, everyone have an awesome evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow. And Steve and I will be back next week.
We'll see you. We'll hear you. See you next week. God bless everybody.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.